We are living in the time of the urgent, in the time of now. Many years ago, we had learned the importance of what it is to be patient, the importance of what it is to know how to wait. But as time has passed and science has evolved, more and more time becomes a rich treasure. And knowing how to wait is on the way to extinction. Everything that man does, he considers that he must do it urgently. We do not take the time to pray. We do not take the time to inquire. We do not take the space and time to think. We simply do what our heart dictates, even if the consequences are disastrous. But the important thing was to do it at the moment. At that very moment, decisions that are not waiting are wrong decisions. Perhaps there is nothing more difficult than waiting. Whether we are expecting something good, bad, or unknown, my dear friends, sometimes when we face a long wait, or even a short one, we try to help God to put His plan into action. Have you been tempted at some point to react in a certain way, in which you consider that it is necessary for you to do something in order to complete the promise that God gave you and feel that you are helping God? How many times have you prayed and God has told you to learn to wait and to be calm, and when you see that your time is running out, we begin to despair because we forget that God is the owner of time. We forget that He is always in control. We forget that what He is going to do does not depend in any way on how far our time has advanced, and we have been tempted to do this or that out of simple desperation. And because it has been difficult for us to learn to wait, in Genesis chapter 16 from verse 1, it reminds us of a story that you may have already heard, but it is interesting because every time I read there, I can learn something new. And today, I am sure that the story did not remain there just to be remembered, but to learn from it. So I'm going to tell you about a couple whose decisions would affect humanity. This couple is Abram and Sarai. In Genesis chapter 16, from verse 1, look at what it says. And let's learn a little about this story. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to give him children, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. Then Sarai said to him, "Abram, the Lord has not allowed me to have children. Go and sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram accepted Sarai's proposal. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant, and gave her to Abram as a woman. This happened 10 years after Abram settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar found out she has conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. In the eyes of the world, this was normal. A sterile woman with money could say to her husband, "Go to my servant or my worker and have a child with her. The child she has is going to be our child and is the one who will receive the inheritance." For the world, this strategy was normal. But remember that what is normal for the world, it is not for God. And when God gives a promise, He will not enforce them under human strategies, What God speaks is spirit, and it is eternal. And the promise of God cannot be supplied with human conditions. In other words, the world can never affect the eternal because it is limited, but the external does affect us. So, we see this married couple with a promise from God, but with the despair of seeing their time passing, their human time, and nothing happened. Then it is there that we give free rein to the mind and begin to think about those good things that can benefit us, and that perhaps were put by God for us to do something. Sometimes the long wait leads us to think that if we are really doing the right thing by waiting, or that the answer could only come if we do something to help. This happened to Sarai and Abram too, who gave in to the advice of his wife, and in the end he had a son with Hagar, but he was not the son of promise. And there began such a tremendous rivalry that until today we see it materialized in wars and rumors of wars. I ask you again, have you ever been tempted to try to help God because you are facing a long wait or even a short one? Sarai tried to do it. Let's look at the context. She was already too old to believe that she could conceive and give birth to a child. So she thought that God had something else in mind. From Sarai's limited point of view, she could only give Abram a son through another woman. As I said before, it was a normal custom in those days, but it was not God's plan. The plan seemed completely harmless. Abram would sleep with Sarai's servant so that she would have a child. Then Sarai would take the child as her own. And once it was on the way, the plan went wonderfully at first. As we read about what happened later, we realize how much Sarai will have regretted on trying to rush God's program. So, at other times we face a long wait, gradually convincing ourselves that what we await will never happen. Sarai waited 90 years for a baby. When God finally told her she was going to have a child, she laughed, not so much because of the lack of faith in what God could do, but because of what He could do through her. And look at this, so interesting. Maybe Sarai did not laugh because she had doubts about God, but about her old age, about how she could be useful for God to do something. Perhaps you find yourself in that dilemma today. In that thought, in that doubt, people wondered, could it be that something good can come out of Nazareth? And Jesus, the Savior, came out. Do not think that your time has shortened, or that your time is up, that God is not going to do anything, because maybe you are like Sarai. You do not doubt the power of God. You know that He can do it, but you are doubting that God can use you to do it. So that happened to Sarai when she was confronted for having laughed. Then she lied like she had seen Abram do it from time to time. She was afraid to reveal her true feelings. So, this whole issue makes me ask myself something. What situations in our life seem to be on hold at this moment? Do you have a situation that is on hiatus? In your marriage? In the company? Maybe a promotion? A relationship that is on hold? Can you understand that this may be part of God's plan for your life? The Bible gives us clear instructions on how to live while we wait for God's plan to be carried out in our lives. Because the first thing that comes to our mind then is, well, Pastor, we have already learned that waiting is important, but what to do when we have to wait? What should I do when it's time to wait? I'm going to give you 5 important points. The first one is, when you have to wait, remember God's promises. That is your guarantee. Constantly remember what God told you, and that will keep you on the path you should walk. Stop letting your mind fly and listening to other things that God has not said. Even if they are good, remain in what God told you. You must do it. Nobody will do it for you. Second, always keep the expectation. Exercise the faith. Like a muscle, you must exercise it every day. Now, how do we exercise faith? When we read the Word of God and pray, the thoughts of God are installed in ours. All the time I am remembering His promises and I am meditating on what God has already done. To know that He will keep doing it because He is the same as yesterday, today, and forever. The worst thing you can do today is to lower your guard. Always keep your eyes on Christ Jesus. You must always be expectant, because many of the things that God does come suddenly. Third, do not stop praying. Prayer will keep you awake. Prayer will activate your faith every day. Prayer is like food that will nourish you and will make you remain firm. Even in the face of the darts that the enemy wants to send you to make you think that your time is running out. As a fourth point, I want to advise you, do not let despair rule you. Despair will come knocking on the door of your heart and mind, but it is up to you if you let it in or not. Always remember that God takes His time to do everything. And what He is going to do or is already doing does not depend on your condition or the conditions of the world, on the temporal, because He is eternal. His eternity overcomes all human and temporal laws. And finally, something important. Remember that a delay does not mean a refusal on the part of God. Remember that a delay does not mean a refusal on the part of God. It is important that you learn to surround yourself with people of faith who help you to pray, that they give you words of encouragement, and that they help you to remain trusting in what God told you. Always keep these points in mind. Take care of the right thing. Take care of what you have to do and let God do His thing. Do not go over that limit, because the day when your vanity interferes in what God has to do, you will delay the process. You will delay the process, or it will happen to you like Sarai, when she could have enjoyed Isaac. There was a conflict, a rivalry. The first decision she made brought Ishmael into this world. What to do when we have to wait? This is my advice, and the advice that is based on the word of the Lord. Do not despair. Remember that God always arrives just on time. He is the time. Thank you, dear Father, for this wonderful word. Because you give us an indication, Lord. Sometimes waiting, and we know that we have to wait, but we don't know what to do when we have to wait. Give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and help us to stand still, so that we walk in obedience to you and in victory. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. This was a translation of the daily devotional delivered by your pastor and friend Elias Hoyos. I want to invite you to subscribe to this channel, to the YouTube channel Devocionales Justo a Tiempo, and click on the bell. I send you a hug. Blessings.